10-wide trailer he had.
Oh, I did too. I know which one it is.
Just stacked with volumes of transcripts in various stages of completion. And what they need now is to go through that, index it, find out what they have, and then start offering it to some of their own people who want to come in and put it into print. Mm-hmm. Because it's the children who still say, why don't we have Navajo history taught in our schools? Mm-hmm. And the only reason that they aren't having it is not because it isn't there. It's been collected, but it hasn't been typed out. It hasn't been written.
It hasn't been documented properly to be able to use it. And again, this is where ONEO hurt the tribe, I think, because now people expect to be paid for these things.
Yeah, that's
true. And before,
true.
It was a willing service. It was a community service. And really, why should they have been paid for it?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when I went to teach school out there, my first year, I had what they call late beginners. These were kids 13, 14 mm-hmm. years old that had never been to school. And I thought at the time, what a tragic thing it was that I was teaching these children to read Dick and Jane. And they had no concept of what I was doing because it didn't relate to anything that they knew about.
Well, if you look at Dick and Jane carefully, not
because
even our own children know what's going on
in
Dick and Jane.
Yeah, but they know what a ball is and the red ball and this kind of thing. But they should have had books written that these
children.
Right. Things that they understood, sheep and things like mm-hmm. this that were related to what they did. We wrote our own. We wrote several stories.
Are these are these children in the Crown Point area staying in school?
We have a pretty high percentage of dropouts. But I think every year it's improving. That we're getting fewer dropouts as time goes on.
Is there a board or something or a counseling service which talks to the kids and tries to show them at least the alternatives?
Yeah, the public school has their counselor, and the boarding school has a good counseling staff. Each of the boarding schools does. They have a good counseling staff.
But what do they
do? They could use some more.
What do they do if they drop out?
Go back to the reservation and find a job jumping pumps or clerking in a store or maybe just find a short-term job here or there. Got a few hippies. A few have gone to the coast and become hippies. And these are the kids that are the problem, really. Because they just don't have anything to do. And I don't know what the answer to it is. Somewhere along the way, we've got to find an answer to it.
Well, isn't the approach to try to find something that they can do, whether it's an industry or a business of some sort, which can be developed on the reservation? It seems to me, from what Howard said, that this business of deporting them to Kansas City and St. Louis and Los Angeles, you mentioned a few other cities that there are big groups of them. It seems to me that works actually against what they're trying to achieve, because they get lonesome, they obviously are round pegs and square holes, and they come back.
And if they even bother to come back. And those that don't come back, don't stay in the field that they were trained for anyway, it seems like they end up in something else. But they come back and they don't fit any place.
What about vocational opportunities? Vocational training schools?
Well, this is being explored a little more all the time. Gallatin County is going into it this year for the first time. And Fort Defiance School has had a vocational training program in their public school for quite a while now. I think it's been about 5 years probably since it was instigated. But the schools are beginning to see the need for this. The public schools are.
You know, it's a funny thing that I worked with a school board up in Colorado, and the parents up there were complaining that because it was a rural town and it was very difficult to get money to do anything, and the parents were complaining because they felt that their children, which were going to this rural school with a heavy accent of shop, industrial arts, the kind of things that the local teachers could teach, they knew something about.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a terrible disadvantage when the parents wanted to take that child and send him to the state university because he couldn't write, he couldn't spell, he couldn't read very well. And yet, in this situation, it seems to me that the very thing that these people, that the people need to have is something to do.
They've got to, they've got lots of troubles on their hands.
No future in the livestock business.
Well, it'll carry just so much, the range will carry just so much, and that's all. And it will not begin to carry enough for 100,000 people. There's no way that enough livestock can be raised.
Are you mostly sheep over in that area?
There, every year there's more animals getting rid of their sheep and buying cattle.
Is that right?
Anyway.
Mm-hmm. Breeding herds or just running steers?
Breeding herds.
Hmm. Well, that's a good sign, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I think it is.
Why is that? Is that good?
Well, because that way they don't have to keep one child out of school and make a sheep herder out of him and have him deprived of everything that the other kids get.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest. That's number one that I can see.
Mm-hmm.
And sheep, you have to really live with them, be with them constantly, where the cattle can turn them loose and know about where they are, ride out every day or two, and see that they're still where they're supposed to be. And they don't have the task that they have with the sheep.
What's this going to do to the wool and the weaving?
I don't think that you'll see any animal turning completely to cattle. I think they'll always keep their little goat herd, their little sheep herd.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be in such a fashion that they won't have to keep a herder right with them.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they can always step out and buy wool if they have to from somebody else.
Can I give you a piece of pie, Dad?
No, thanks.
You won't? How about you, Mrs. Biggs? Yes, thanks. I'd like a piece of pie.
That's just what you need for a cold.
All right. You're going to have a piece of pie, I'll have a piece of pie.
Little ice cream on it?
Oh,
let's just shoot the walk, you know. Sure you don't want any skinny?
Not for a while, then. How much has the tribe had to say about your operations? That's not exactly the way I want to say that, but what kind of effect have their organization, which obviously has become much more efficient in the past 30 years, affected the trading business as such?
They haven't improved trading at all. In fact, we don't know where we stand with them today. We're very insecure. They don't even seem to know where they are or what they're doing.
Do they want you there?
Oh boy. And we have to send in a financial statement every year along with our 1.5% payment of gross sales for leasing the land and using our own buildings, which we put up, because see, the minute we put up a building, it belongs to the tribe. And we're very insecure because they're sort of jumping around and even hesitating to give leases on some of the places that have had leases for years. And it's real serious right at this point. Our communication is sort of broken down and we're having a pretty hard time right now.
Do they have a committee for traders and such? Who's in charge of that?
I don't know who is now. Ned Plummer was, and they've had a change recently, and I don't know who it is. Now, they do have a trading supervisor hired, who is a white man, and his name is Darby. And he's the one that we answer to, is this man Darby. Then the Bureau has a man, also, who's in charge of the traders. So we bounce around between the Bureau and between the tribe and try to fit in there somewhere.
Isn't the Bureau's role largely advisory, though?
It always has been. This year they've sort of taken a different tack. I don't know what's behind it at all. Some of the stores, they haven't even gotten their leases or their license to operate this coming year. We've always went on a year-to-year basis with the Bureau for the license to operate. But this year, they made some different demands, and if you couldn't come up to their specifications, well, you just didn't get a license to renew.
So you have to have both permission from the tribe and license from the Bureau in order to operate.
Yes.
Hmm. Well, Robbie gave me the impression that there's certainly no increase in the number of trading posts on the reservation these days.
There isn't, because nobody wants to invest any money in it until we decide how this thing is going to go. We're all afraid. We won't put any more money into our place until I settle down and we find out how it's going to go. We have lots of plans for remodeling and enlarging. We can't afford to now because we don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, it'd be one thing if it was yours and you could recover somehow if they changed. Is this a reflection of the Nakai regime, do you think, or just pressures from within?
Well, maybe I'm prejudiced, but I feel it is, comes from Nakai. He just isn't looking ahead.
Well, he's not looking back, though, is he?
He's just not looking. He isn't looking to see what it's going to do to his people. The trader's always been the people's best friend, and he isn't stopping to think about that. And a trader is going to want the Navajos in his area to make money and do well so that they'll have a little more money to spend. Every trader wants his people to make money. If they don't make money, why, they don't have any money to spend. So why would a trader set out to break an Navajo or to cheat him and drive him away from him?
That's pretty much a myth by now, though, isn't it? That the myth, the idea of the trader cheating the Indian, isn't that a... I don't think even the Indians. I mean the real Indians. I mean.
No, I think. I'm so skinny. That's the reason I'm going to eat this.
You want some dinner another way? Sorry,
Now, Robbie, you are going to eat some, aren't you?
Yeah.
I hate to consume calories by myself.
No, maybe
you're
not coming. I'm going to eat.
Most of the Navajos still trust the trader, just like they have always.
Well, Robbie's dad and I talked a long time one night about this whole business of the trader. Not from his family bias, but from his viewpoint ranging around the reservation as a stockman. I think he probably covered as much country as anybody could have. And he pretty much documented the truth as I see it, and as you obviously see it.
Pretty wise man.
We're trying to persuade him to write up a sort of a semi-memoir of the period of life of his life that he was working out there as a stock. Well, gosh, it would be a real...
It'd just be fabulous.
...wonderful thing. It would be...
And besides, it would sell.
Not only would it sell, but it would be a real contribution to any kind of history, because there is... As far as I know, no white man has ever written a story about what it's like to be an Indian on the reservation, which I suppose he just about had to be, and at least in his thinking he claims that he's an Indian. Talking
well,
about your dad.
Oh, Dad.
Yeah, I'll have a little more coffee, please.
Well, I don't think you can spend as much time with him as we did and not pick up the best part. We're kind of like the Navajo, just picking up the best part of both cultures, and I think we sort of feel